You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Charter schools, publicly funded, privately run. Backers hail them as the way to keep public schools and public school teachers on their toes because of the choice, the competition. Here in Michigan, we have roughly 145,000 students in more than 300 charter schools. That's according to Education Trust Midwest. And a report they came out with earlier this year showed charter school enrollment in the 2014-2015 school year consisted of disproportionately minority and low-income students. Andre Perry has watched the charter school industry take root, especially in urban areas where the number of charter schools is growing at a faster rate than suburbs or rural areas. And he has seen it up close as the former founding dean of urban education at Davenport University in Grand Rapids and as the CEO of the Capital One University of New Orleans Charter Network. Andre Perry believes it is time for activists like the ones in the Black Lives Matter movement to pay more attention to charter schools. Andre Perry, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, thanks for having me, Cynthia.
Education reformers say charter schools and the choice they represent, Andre, are the ways to force failing public schools to shape up. And certainly we've seen that in Detroit. So what do you make of what has played out with the rise of charter schools in urban areas like Detroit that have large low-income and minority populations?
Well, I say all the time that urban districts are treated like black and brown people. They're over-policed. They're broken up. They are experimented on. And I don't necessarily think that there's anything inherently wrong with charter schools. But over time, you've seen that many of the devices that are used to fix districts are similar to those that are used to, quote unquote, fix black people. And so I think there's been a disproportionate amount of effort to apply charter schools to black communities instead of allowing black communities to reform themselves.
How do you believe the reformers and the state legislators regard black communities and black urban districts?
I think it's clear that they're more willing to take on districts in ways that they would never do in suburban or rural districts. The data is pretty clear on this. The disproportionate amount of our charter schools are enrolled by black students, and that's by design because initially it was to quote unquote help poor, low income, and black children. Now, if you are really into education, then you're into providing a better educational product for anyone. But you just don't see this type of effort being applied on white communities. And it's really because that black folk don't have the same type of value as white folk. And so endeavors to help people, we're doing anything under the sun in order to, quote unquote, improve their lives. And so you see all the time that we can break up districts, we can fire teachers, we can suspend and expel students in the name of helping, just as the same way we've said we can improve or clean up crime on the streets while incarcerating black and brown people. These are not trade-offs that we should accept. But you see it over and over again in districts, urban districts, particularly ones that are already ravaged by a tragedy. I had the experience to work in both Louisiana and Michigan, where you have New Orleans and Detroit, both African-American cities, historic African-American cities with historic power bases. And I can tell you that the reason why you don't see as much pushback as you would is because the decentralization efforts that have occurred in both Detroit and New Orleans hindered black voice to speak on what is good for them. Again, many of the machinations that you see in districts aren't inherently bad. There's nothing necessarily wrong with a charter school. It's just a small governance change that actually, if applied properly, can actually get schools closer to communities. But the way it's applied, it literally upends black power. There's a nefarious thread in the movement that specifically wants to break up districts.
And so the effect you see on black communities and neighborhoods is what?
Oh, I mean, whether it's New Orleans, Newark, Detroit, D.C. when we wanted to improve the teacher workforce and we removed collective bargaining. Guess what? Black women were the primarily ones that felt the burden of those changes and were disproportionately let go in the process. You saw, and this is changing over time, but you saw special needs services not being applied in ways that to protect all children. Suspension and expulsion on the rise. And all of these things were done in efforts to help the community. But at the same time, it eroded a black power base. And I can't say this enough. Black people don't necessarily need choice. They need power. The reason why black community schools are not doing well is because black communities are not doing well. So when you break up districts, when you disrupt school boards, you are eroding black power. There has to be a way for us to build capacity of black communities while improving schools.
So let me ask you about that, because you know that there are people saying, look, you know, fill in the blank. We'll talk about Detroit, who say Detroit's public schools have been failing. Student scores have been abysmal. Buildings are falling apart. The system is hemorrhaging money. It's unsustainable. So what do you believe that needs to be the answer? What should we do about these, about really terrible schools?
But I think we put way too much weight on just education and not address all of these other sectors that are really eroding black communities. I can't say this enough. The reason why black children and black schools are not doing well is because criminal justice is failing, because health care is failing, because public safety is failing, because of a whole slew of issues in the black community. The reason why the Black Lives Matter movement is so important is because it can link all these factors together. So you can see the constellation of institutionalized racism that are impacting students' lives. Because this is what's happening all across the country. Yes, test scores are going up. Incarceration is too. Test scores are going up. Employment is not improving for black communities. If you are authentically improving schools, then you should see changes in the workforce. We should be hiring black and brown teachers. Those students should go on to college and come back to school. We've been in this for 20-something years now. And this idea that we're going to myopically and instrumentally improve schools to improve children's lives is just ridiculous. It is about having institutions improve the capacity of communities. And if we're not going to do that, then it's not worth doing.
Is that a matter of we need to spend more money?
No, it's not just money. I mean, I've been involved in a lot of different reform efforts where we've incubated talent, where we trained teachers, where we created new teacher pipelines. Why can't we do that for black people in communities? Instead of incubating white communities and empowering white institutions in black communities, why not build capacity of the ones that are already there? In New Orleans, we've literally poured billions in New Orleans to improve not only schools, but housing, criminal justice reforms, you name it. But 10 years later, we have 100,000 less black people in New Orleans, and we are as poor as we were pre-Katrina. Mm. Something's not adding up. So yes, we're building capacity of white organizations to help communities, but there's something fundamentally wrong with that picture. If we're pour money into the organizations and people who need it, who are more likely to stay in the communities, who are already there, who absolutely need the training. But I can't tell you enough. We've moved to this place of we're going to do to the communities and do what's good for them instead of addressing what got us into this mess in the first place. And that was disempowerment of the black community. We have got to empower the black community. And this is not some radical thought, but let's give resources to the people who need it most, not to organizations that are built to help people. There is something fundamentally wrong with this picture, but there's nothing innovative with this paternalistic type of reform. I mean, we can go back to Reconstruction and W.E.B. Du Bois and his views on the Freedmen's Bureau, where he believed that you could squeeze the self-determination out of people if you're constantly doing things to them. And similarly, the same thing is true in cities like New Orleans and Detroit, where we should be empowering people by literally giving them the capacity to do for self.
What would that look like, Andre? What do you think that would look like?
I mean, and I can't say this enough. We need place-based scholarships where people who live in the hood can go to public universities. We need incubation sites where folks can learn how to run their own charter schools. We need to train people on how to run for public office. We need to actually stop suspending and expelling black children, because that's where the broken teacher pipeline starts, because kids leave school not liking school. There are so many basic things that we should be doing instead of providing millions of dollars to white-led organizations to help black people that does not address the power issue that black communities are suffering from. It is, I mean, this constant idea that black people are broken and they need to be fixed. No, black people don't have power. They don't have the capacity to uplift themselves. We have smart people. They're no different than anyone else in the community. They need training. They need incubation. They need support. Give it to them.
Andre Perry's piece on why the Black Lives Matter movement has to take on charter schools can be found at theroot.com. Andre Perry joined us via Skype. It was great talking with you, Andre. We want to thank you so much for taking time to be on Stateside.
Hey, anytime.